May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the well-worn words of Psalm 93, that he leadeth me beside the still waters, seem like a completely cruel joke today, or a memory of yesteryear, or even of 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. Still waters. We're in certainly not still waters right now. We're in the most unprecedented time in our generation, where streets are empty, many stores have shuttered or curtailed their hours, and many people agree that it will get far worse before it gets better. Loss of life and hospitalizations and general stress on our world. This is, for us, our third service over Zoom in a week, and we even had a Bible study. Things are completely unprecedented in this 250th year of St. Mark's. I'm even trying out Zoom jokes. I don't know if they're any good or not. Like, I make jokes about whether people have on pants, because all you do is see the top part of each other, or maybe they have on different kinds of, like, clown shoes. We don't know, what are the people that whose videos aren't on. We're only left to our own imagination. That's not a shame for those non-video people. I'm just showing you how bad my Zoom jokes are. They're terrible, because all of us wish this was a board game that we could flip up and restart, don't we? We could somehow do that. Remember the original computer restart, the control alt delete it one time, and it just reboots and everything is sort of magic. It still works sometimes with, like, the internet. You unplug it and plug it back in. And if we could just unplug and go back to 2019, maybe things would be better. We could just do over. We could just reset. Or if life had one of those little pinhole buttons, you know what I'm talking about? That you have to get, like, either a bobby pin or a paper clip, and you have to stick it in there and hold it for 5 seconds. And if you do it, the whole thing magically works again. I so wish we could do that, because the pressure and the stress of living in the time of the coronavirus means that no one is spared. It's a global pandemic afflicting pain and stress on all of us. It's in all 50 states. The first case is in Southwest Virginia, was located in Botetourt, and our prayers are even more close to home because of this revelation. And it's unusual to have something like this for many reasons. But one is because, in general, our human afflictions and stressors, which are all real, and we all share them on an individual level. We talk about this Sunday after Sunday, but they always look differently to us as individuals. Well, in this case, it looks the same for all of us, meaning this is a stressor that spares none and covers all. And, you know, we're more likely in the story that Chuck read for us, that beautiful long passage in John, like the blind man. You know, we are trying to figure and feel and see and hear and pray our way through this time of stress. And we also all, like him, are clamoring for some one-on-one Jesus time, aren't we? We all want Jesus to come for both the world and for us right now. And the good news is that God isn't just God for you. He is that, but he's also God for the whole human family. And that, again, it's why the voice of the psalmist is so powerful. because the Psalms in our tradition articulate the collective human voice to God. They are prayers. They are poetry. They speak out of both thanksgiving, praise, lament, fear, joy, all of those human emotions. They speak words that our Father hears. They speak words that connect with all of us and connect us all to God. They, in other words, articulate our voices. And that piercing insight of the psalmist that the still waters, remember, is buffeted by the verse just two verses later, which says that we'll be in the shadow of death. In other words, the universal human emotion and feeling that we're all sharing in at this moment is both the still waters and the shadow of death. It is the both and. Now, this was echoed by C.S. Lewis in a super powerful quote that he wrote during World War II. And if you replace the word war in this quote with virus and think about our soldiers not as military personnel in Europe, but as field workers and healthcare professionals and doctors and nurses and all those serving our medical community, this will totally resonate with you. Lewis wrote, "The war creates no absolutely new situation. It simply aggravates the permanent human situation so that we can no longer ignore it. Human life has always been lived on the edge of a precipice. Human culture has always had to exist under the shadow of something infinitely more important than itself. If men had postponed the search for knowledge and beauty until they were secure, the search would never have begun. We are mistaken when we compare war with normal life. Life has never been normal." Life has never been normal. This is something that the psalmist knows all too well, and that God knows all too well. This is actually the precise reason why Jesus was sent to the earth, to create in us at least not a normal existence, but some touchstone, some eternal truth, some way that we can always hold on to, no matter how intense life gets around us. Meaning, no matter how much we feel shuddered and freaked out and stressed, we can know that Jesus is here. That around that pool of Siloam, that we are healed. That we have been healed. That like the blind man, we're in search of someone to heal us. And that someone is Jesus. Because in that story that Chuck read, it makes it clear that that's not a story as an object lesson on sin and its results. Because the story makes it totally clear, that sin is just a reality. It's a truth in the world. Evil exists. But that story is an object lesson on God showing up and healing us. Showing up when we are totally lost. We have nowhere to turn. We can't see, we can't feel, we can't hear. We're isolated from the world like that blind man. And there God shows up and reveals his purpose, which is to bring us into community with him and with others, to comfort us as individuals so that we might be grafted together as neighbors, connected through Zoom, connected through voices, through letters and emails, connected to one another. In other words, Jesus sends the blind man to the pool of Siloam. Siloam being meant sent, and it's water that is also sent in this pool. So that's an important historical truth. It's also a metaphor for Jesus. Think about this. That pool is a real geographic location, sort of like what we think about as an eternal spring. where water is flows from it constantly. Well, we also know from Jesus, just a few verses earlier in the Gospel of John, that he says, "I am the living water." Meaning, he's sending this blind man back to himself. He is pointing once again to himself as our Savior, as our place of comfort, as our living water, as the marker that will free us, that allows us to make it through this valley of the shadow of death. Because God is the living water of the world. It's the common power and presence from age to age, even and maybe even most especially in an age of the coronavirus. This past week, poet Lynn Unger wrote a poem entitled Pandemic. I would commend the whole poem to you. But in that, she reminds us of the sacredness of the world and that the world is God's, locating us as creatures in God's creation. And now she writes about the physical separation that many of us feel. And she says, "Yet we can reach out with our heart because we can know that we're connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful." In ways that are terrifying and beautiful. I know for one that we feel a lot of those terrifying moments. I know that my prayer for all of us is that we might have some glimpses of those beautiful moments. But we can all know that the living water, when we talk about living water, we talk about the binding agent of God's grace and love that connects all of us through Zoom, through our hearts, through our voices, through our laughter, our tears, our cries, and our fears. It binds us all together in those most beautiful ways, such as with the birth of a child or a beautiful sunset like last night, and celebrations, and also through the scariest and most fearful and terrifying ways. And we know about the terrifying ways because God's full revelation was on a cross. God's full revelation of himself on the earth was through death before resurrection. Terrifying and beautiful, all wrapped into one. So the living water comes then from God himself, from his blood that poured out on that hill in Calvary, that binds us all together, that connects us to God's grace, that connects us to love, plain and simple. Love that cannot be defeated by a virus or a pandemic or fear or anything, because it is God's love, the most powerful agent the world has ever known or will ever know. And we see echoes of this, echoes of a songbird that will never stop singing his love for us. It was the songs that echoed in those unbelievably moving videos sent from Italy of people quarantined in their apartments, wheeling their pianos out on the balconies and singing to one another. It is the inspiration for Bono, the frontman for U2, and one of our favorite theologians, when he wrote a song last week as an ode and as a thank you to the frontline healthcare workers that every day in this world right now are putting their life at risk to help to slow this virus. And by doing so, they're giving us just another image of the way that God's love has been poured out for us, always protecting, always binding us together. And most importantly, in our own community, it's the story of First Presbyterian Church that tolls its bells twice a day now, every time that the Carilion hospital workers and the medical personnel have a shift change. As a reminder of that song that keeps singing. And that's the voice of the psalmist. It's the voice of song, Psalm 23, that powerful voice that echoes our own emotions and feelings, that reminds us that others have been in these places before and that God's steadfast love will continue, that His presence will never cease. And that the most comforting news is that God's song of love will keep singing no matter what. Amen.